scholars talks about different ways for checking the authenticity of the narration, whether this narration is mursala, or for example maqtu'a, or for example muwathaq, hasan, sahih, many other explanations. A scholarly analysis for checking the authenticity of the narration, and you see how meticulously scholars check the authenticity of the narrations, whether this narration is reliable or not. Okay, but the maybe our questioner, he or she was not aware of these hadith sciences, and he just wanted to, for example, share out with this question.
So he might say that, actually he continued to say that, okay, this sort of a hadith that you are talking about have been fabricated by the scholars of mullahs that actually have brought and introduced us this hadith.
You see that?
And you refer to many different branches of knowledge in the hadith. So if it is going to be fabricated, Sheikh, what is it like? I mean, if it is fabricated by one mullah or scholar, how the other one has ignored that? Is it possible to be ignored, for example, to be fabricated again by anyone in the course of history?
Of course, talking about the narration which has been fabricated by an so-called, semi-scholars, I do not came across any narration could be fabricated by, for example, as you mentioned, mullah, or for example, any other so-called scholars. Of course, we have in the history, for example, some so-called scholars, some pseudo scholars, they have fabricated even some denomination, like for example, Babiye, Baha'iye, yeah. or for example, other denomination. They fabricated these schools for example, to trick people, yeah, and to make them go astray. But after all, forging hadith by a scholar, I do not remember any scholar to, forge this or make up this narration.
Okay. Even if it has been forged by a person, by the other one, in another branch of knowledge of hadith could actually prevent the sort of lesser danger that comes to that, right?
You see that in the narration that those people who are familiar with the narrations of Ahlul Bayt and who are expert in the area of the, for example, knowledge of hadith or hadith sciences, they can very easily recognize whether this narration is made of one or not. Mm-hmm. Okay, of course, we have a lot of ahadith mawdu'a or fabricated narration in ancient times. And of course, it requires a lot of scholarly analysis to recognize those narrations. But I want to just talk about those made-up narrations by some so-called scholars,
yeah,
which are not a person who is not very much familiar with Islamic hadith.
Yeah.
If they, for example, make a narration or forge a narration, it is, I think, easily understood by an expert.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Let me explain about this issue. That I want to say that those people who are familiar with ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, they have some kind of uns, which,
yeah,
means some kind of familiarity with the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt and the narrations of Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah,
they can easily understand the whether this one is authentic one or not.
Mm-hmm.
You see, even in the time of the ancient time, for quoting a narration, they were giving permission. Ijazatul hadith. It was a custom between our scholar.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they were giving some permission for quoting the narration.
Very true.
I mean, it is not allowed it was not allowance for all people to quote a narration.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, maybe to some extent, we lost those great tradition of our ancient scholars.
So, but even we lost those scholars, but at least the scholars who are eligible to narrate a hadith are not going to narrate something that has been also fabricated. At least there are some in religious cities and, let's say, seminary schools that they do not let others to come and bring and insert some hadith from outside, at least. So they are defending their religion in their own way.
Of course, I want to say that this custom of ijazatul hadith or permission for quoting a narration, for example, I remember Ayatollah Marashi in his, some of his books, he mentioned and he quoted some of the ways for example, I have received this permission from many scholars for quoting the narration.
Very true.
Or for example, Ayatollah Subhani, many other scholars, they have quoted, they have, you know, given these permission for quoting the narration.
So let's be back to the main question, Sheikh. So isn't it possible for a person to find the right path only through Al-Quran? That is, without referring to the hadith, because the person said that I just want to focus and look at the Quran, whatever comes from Quran.
Of course not. Mm-hmm. Of course not. Because for example, in the verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Aqimus Salah. Mm-hmm. Okay, establish the prayer.
How?
But how can I establish a prayer?
Very true.
In which unit, in which circumstances, many, many concepts of the verse of Noble Quran, especially with the Islamic laws or, of course, other issues, needs and requires explanation from infallible and sinless Ahlul Bayt and from the Noble Prophet, of course, prior to all of them. I want to say that without the explanations of Ahlul Bayt and, of course, without the rational reasoning and other Islamic sources, we cannot directly go to the verses of Noble Quran and, of course, benefit from at least some of the verses of Noble Quran.
And as I said at the beginning of this show, and we referred to the examples of those who wanted to just refer to the Quran, and we saw the outcome and result of it, that they did not get prosperous, that is Kharijis or Al-Khawarij. So they had the Imam with them, the infallible Imam among them, so no need to, to narrate a hadith for them. That is, the word of Imam, the infallible Imam, was an order for every person. But they refrained from accepting the word of Imam and they said that we just refer to Quran. The outcome was what? So we see we also, and we have a historical example for that, that it is not possible based on your explanations.
Of course, we should be very accurate here. Mm-hmm. Verses of Noble Quran, Hada Bayanun Linnas, to some extent, people can benefit. All, you know, individuals and people, they can benefit from the verses of Noble Quran to some extent. Okay.
Very true.
But on the other hand, we have some of the concepts of the verse of Noble Quran requires explanation from Ahlul Bayt. Okay, they have to interpret to us some verse, at least some verse of Noble Quran, and to make them clear, to make them with these verses clear for us in order to practice them.
So we need the real interpreters of the Noble Quran. Who is going to tell us what does this verse mean and how should we, for example, act upon that? If Allah tells us, for example, this is the way that you perform Hajj, the details of that is not in the Quran. So it comes from the word of the infallible Imam.
And even if you want to directly go to the verse of Noble Quran, it requires a lot of skills and, you know, some kind of, you should be scholarly qualified.
Are we that skillful?
Yeah, skillful to the, to in order to understand and to benefit from the verse of Noble Quran. But after all, there are some verses of Noble Quran can all people can, I just want to avoid to, not to cause any misconception here. Just I want to be very clear because, you know, we have some levels for the verse of Noble Quran. First level is that many people, I mean, all people can benefit from the verse of Noble Quran. But after that, to some of the verses of Noble Quran, especially Islamic laws or some, you know, other verses, we need and requires the explanation of Ahlul Bayt. But and finally, you should be qualified person in order to benefit from the verses of Noble Quran.
But they might refer to the work that Allama Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi has done already. He interpreted Quran with Quran. So they say that, okay, we have an example of that. And the late Allama did that, interpreted Quran with Al-Quran.
You see that, I think that that individual did not even maybe for once refer to Al-Mizan. Because even for once to you refer to the Al-Mizan of Allama Tabatabai, You see that for the first stage, for the beginning of interpretation, of course, yes, he used the verses in order to interpret each other. But for second stage, he referred to Bahthun Riba'i, Bahthun Falsafi, he referred to the Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, and even to philosophical
even
points,
at that level, he was not needless of referring to the Hadith.
Of course, yes. It has some levels for the interpreting the verse of Noble Quran. First of all, they interpret themselves. After that, they go to the Ahadith and to the philosophical and other points in order to interpret all verses.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for your explanations and answering the questions. And your respected listeners, thanks for your staying tuned and listening to us.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Competition at stand-up paddleboard events is fierce, but competing on Europe's biggest underground lake adds another level of difficulty. One such race has been held in Switzerland as part of the seven-stage Alpine Lakes Tour. Some 60 paddlers have competed on the 300-meter-long underground lake on an illuminated course. Organizers named it the Bat Race because it was staged in a cave.
It's a great day because we are on an underground lake, and this only takes place here. There's nothing like this elsewhere, and really the atmosphere is great because we are in the dark. We paddle without knowing where we are going. It's a really fun atmosphere.
Other athletes were excited about the setting, describing it as wonderful and magnificent. They said it was magical to see the trout deep underwater inside the cave. Others said they sometimes struggled to breathe, but all the participants agreed that it was absolutely fun.
Local fishermen have rescued an injured baby manatee on a bay in far southeastern Cuba. The fishermen are nursing the injured baby manatee with cow and goat milk mixed with coconut water. They discovered the injured manatee with gashes on his head and body in Maria del Portillo Bay near Havana. Upon arrival on shore, the fishermen recruited volunteers for a nearby farming village.
We were fishing along the shore when we saw the manatee coming. When it approached us, we realized it was injured. It had several wounds on its body, one on the head and two on the rest of the body. Between the two of us, we made the decision to take her to the port of Maria del Portillo, where the boats were moored. When we got there, the whole town was very surprised. Some people ran to help us, others ran to get milk. Seeing that it was small and knowing that it's a mammal, we decided to give it some milk. The people who have cows gave us cow's milk. Those who have goats gave us goat's milk.
Manatees are aquatic mammals akin to giant water-borne cow. The mammal is found in sheltered bays and estuaries throughout Cuba. Scientists say coastal communities could play a key role in protecting marine species and their habitats. Races, beauty contests, and a marvelous show. Here is everything you need to know about the first Qatar Camel Festival. Qatar kicked off its very first edition of the Camel Festival earlier this month at Lepsair, Doha. The festival features unique and high-value breeds for the public to enjoy. Camels from all around the region will also get to flaunt their posture to earn the title of the most beautiful camel or the highest value breed in the festival. But first, the whole lot should be judged.
Judging is based on the size of the camel's head, the length of the neck and the beautiful appearance of the animal and its health status. Of course, judging is different for each group of camels. For example, in the case of camels that are black, the focus is on the size of the animal's head. But on camels that are white, the focus is on the beauty of the camel and the harmony of the body and the beauty of the animal. In addition, we have very experienced professional staff who will deal with the animal if it is artificially beautified.
To spike excitement and competitiveness in those who enjoy such shows, the country has allocated a whopping 47 million Qatari riyals for the lucky winners. The 45-day event will last until March 22nd and will include various competitions, including 115 local and international races.
In the streets of the Chadian capital city, an actor is bringing culture to impoverished neighborhoods by organizing readings of poetry and plays.
Culture should be accessible to all. If we want to have a wonderful world, a harmonious world, everyone should be focused on the same dimensions to be able to dream together. And without culture, we won't be able to initiate development. And to initiate this stage of development, we need to invite people to think together.
The actor does not have a fixed place to tell his stories. He performs in public spaces and says it is his way of giving everyone the opportunity to discover and explore creativity. Among the activities Bonaventure organizes, one can name drawing with children and conducting acting classes. He believes music and theater bring other disciplines together, creating an avenue for enriching human connections. Residents, especially the children of the impoverished neighborhood, say they always look forward to Bonaventure's arrival. A first-of-its-kind selfie museum in the Central American country of Guatemala is gaining lots of attention from excited enthusiasts. The selfie museum is located in Antigua, Guatemala, and is made up of 40 rooms or scenarios. Each room is a recreation of a colorful theme. Wallpaper, wings, greenery, neon signs, and other props are all present to spark the interest of visitors. One room includes a levitating bed, and another is equipped with a spaceship. Other rooms have familiar scenarios of presidential offices and comic book characters for visitors to take photographs in. Several artists participated in creating the art illustrations. A zoo in Peru's capital city, Lima, is celebrating a rare hatching of endangered baby crocodiles. The Huachipa Zoo showcased three females and one male to the public on the World Wildlife Day. The four crocodiles were born in incubators as part of the conservation efforts for the reptile. This species is an American crocodile, which is on the endangered list of animals in Peru. Zookeepers say the black market and threats on their habitat have seen the crocodile population dwindle. The zoo regularly receives animals that were rescued from trafficking. Among those traits are tortoises, macaws, and monkeys.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The 2022 World Cup is reaching a fever pitch as hundreds of people line up at a shopping center in Qatar to take a picture with a trophy. The famous Golden World Cup trophy was unveiled during a ceremony at a mall in Doha, where excited football fans waited for their turn to see it. They were also given the option to take a selfie or have their photo taken professionally. While the competition is still nearly a year away, FIFA says more than a million tickets were requested within the first 24 hours after sales opened. The highest demand came from fans from Qatar, followed by Argentina, Mexico, and United States, among others. Bangladesh is reviving the ancient tradition of producing a historically renowned fine hand-woven fabric called muslin. With the help of the government, the trade is making a comeback. Now, a workshop has been set up in Dhaka where weavers are being trained in the ancient art. They say it took them months to master the craft, working with incredibly fine hand-spun cotton yarns. The weavers say it takes them 8 hours to spin just 4 centimeters. Some varieties of the fabric are so fine that an entire muslin sari could fit inside a single matchbox.
There was a myth about muslin that it was so delicate that it would pass through even a small ring. Look, it's true. There is space to squeeze in another piece of cloth through this ring as well.
Breathing life back into this ancient trade was not easy. Officials with a revival project say there was little knowledge about how this fabric was made. Plus, the rare cotton variant, which makes this fabric so expensive, was also lost. The precious fabric was the most extravagant of its era and popular in Mughal courts. It was also imported into Europe for much of the 17th century and transformed the style of the aristocracy there.
An art gallery in London, Tate Modern, is hosting an exhibition with a remarkable span of surrealist works. The exhibition, dubbed Surrealism Beyond Borders, features more than 170 artworks ranging from paintings and sculptures to photography and films. Works by more than 150 artists from over 60 years are on the display. The exhibit also has a wide geographical span and includes surrealist artworks from different countries. Some of the most prominent artists whose works are being exhibited include Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and Ted Jones. The exhibition will run until August 9th. Impressive, creative, wonderful. That's how visitors describe the works of Vincent Hoogh, a Dutch post-impressionist painter being displayed in an impressive art exhibition in the Argentine capital. Hundreds of Van Gogh's paintings are projected onto the walls of the gallery. The image bloom and ripple in front of the audience, creating a 3D-like and immersive experience. Van Gogh was one of the most famous and influential figures in Western art history of the 19th century. He is largely remembered for his impressionist style, a break from the old traditional art technique. He is also famous for his turbulent life, which was made for outlandish, emotionally charged paintings.
students and staff gather for sizzling meat sandwiches as they signal their orders with their hands at a food truck in Pakistan's capital city of Islamabad. The Abbey Cow is no ordinary food truck parked on the campus of the Millennium Universal College. It's fully managed and run by staff with hearing impairments. At the beginning of the queue, a diagram shows simple phrases in sign language which customers use to order their food and communicate. The food truck is Pakistan's first mobile restaurant entirely staffed by deaf workers, providing an economic opportunity for them.
Having the startup here at our campus has been really fruitful. Not only have we created more awareness around the sign language amongst our students, but we've also created an inspiration for TMUC students to look up and pursue entrepreneurship as a career choice.
The project developer, Aisha Raza, says the majority of deaf youth end up unemployed and face inequality and discrimination. She says she wanted to create an opportunity for her brothers to economically thrive. The goal is to bridge communication gaps between the deaf and hearing communities and help remove language barriers. The food truck is the brainchild of a family where both parents and their sons are either totally or partially deaf.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you all. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. And this is Youth Station. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Hassanain, from India. And we have our co-host with us, Sister Asma. Salaamu alaikum,
yes.
Sister.
Yes, hello.
How are you?
Inshallah, alaikum.
You're well. And both of us, we all welcome you to the show.
Yes.
How are you, Sister Asma?
I'm good, thank you. How's everything with you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. Sister Asma, may Allah bless you, first of all.
And you too, of course. And the audience.
And the audience as well, all the believers. May Allah bless them all.
We hope everything is just going fine with every single one of you.
Inshallah.
The youth, sisters and brothers from all around the world. Happy to be here with you again.
Like all these prayers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have got so many prayers, so many supplications from A'imma Athar alayhim as-salam. So out of all these, what do you think, if you specifically talk about du'as and supplications for the youth,
yes,
what do you think, you know, would be the best one? Or what do you advise or suggest to our youth?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go step by step. Let's talk about supplication. When we say supplication or du'a, what do we mean by that?
What we mean by that? Well, there are some specific prayers that are like our heritage. We have them in the Islamic heritage. Some very beautifully said prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Which everyone uses whenever they're in need of speaking to God, or they want to ask God for some specific things, but they do not know how to put it into words, then we have some prepared sort of du'as. We
from
call
Ahl-Bayt
them supplications, yes, from Ahl-e Bayt.
So supplication is basically asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And their sources is it's pretty much assured.
Mm-hmm.
No one can reject them.
Yeah.
And as I said, they have said everything you want to say in a much beautiful language and to the point.
Yeah. So we have so many du'as. So now, like, if you talk about du'as for the youth or supplications for the youth.
Have you ever been in a situation where you thought there's a need for you as a youth to go for those supplications?
Yeah, always. I always, you know, feel the need for that supplication.
And which one is more close to your heart? What supplication?
There's one supplication that we usually recite in Namaz Ghufayla, or Salat al-Ghufayla, that's recited between Maghrib and Isha.
Yes.
Like, it's a short dua. Like, it won't take more than a minute for you to recite, and like, it won't take more than 5 minutes for you to memorize it.
Yes.
It's like, Allahumma anta waliyun ni'mati wal qadiru ala talibati ta'lamu hajati.
That's very beautiful.
So, O Allah, like, you are my Lord, you are superior, and you know what I need.
You know all my needs.
Yeah, you know all my needs. So as of now that you know all my needs, فَأَسْأَلُكَ بِحَقِّ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ. So now I ask in the name of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. لَمَّا قَضَيْتَ لِي. So grant my needs.
Mm-hmm. Since so, you know my needs.
You know all my needs. What do I need? Mm-hmm. You're the best knower. You know everything.
Yes.
So I pray this all the time. You know, I feel like, you know, it's a, you know, shortcut of all the du'as instead of asking.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, it's got everything in
the du'a. The concise format which puts everything inside of it.
Yeah, it's got everything in the du'a. Like, you know all the needs. You know, you just
exactly.
give
exactly. When I was perhaps 17 or 18, mm-hmm. I was interested in literary texts a lot.
Mm-hmm.
By accident, so much accidentally, I got familiar with Dua al-Abu Hamza al-Thamali.
Oh, that's a long, lengthy so, dua.
Yes, it's very lengthy.
But beautiful words in there,
but very beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like a literary text. You're going through so much of words. Everything as if somebody
anyone
is talking
know,
of your tongue.
Yeah. Anyone doesn't know about that dua, it's a dua from Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam.
Exactly, yes. It's very beautiful. Everything you need, everything you want to say has been put into words in a much beautiful and masterly they've been put together. So it's clearly evident to everyone that it has come from a master.
Can you tell us anything, you know, the favorite part of yours from that dua?
Yes, of course. If anyone is interested to get to read that dua, well, it is available already in Mafatih al-Jinan.
Yeah, and even so, you get it on internet, like
yes,
you just search
course,
for it. You also get
been,
the translation in your own language.
Mm-hmm. In all the languages, you could have the translation of your own language, of your interest. Well, my favorite part, well, there are actually many parts of it that mm-hmm. could be considered as my favorite. But there is a part in which I am introducing myself.
Uh-huh.
I am this, I am that. Oh God, mm-hmm. oh Allah, you know all the wrong things I have done in my life, yet you are so patient with me in mm-hmm. a way that I think I have done nothing. You give me so much of opportunities, so I think I have done nothing.
Very beautiful. Like, if we read this dua, there are all beautiful verses in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my favorite verses mm-hmm. in this dua is when Imam says, إِلَهِ إِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِ النَّارَ فَفِي ذَلِكَ سُرُورِ عَدُوِكَ. Like, you know, there's all this Arabic, like, skipping that. I'll just move on to the translation.
Yes, just
to
the translation.
Yeah. Oh Lord, if you put me in hell, mm-hmm. your enemy will be happy.
Yes.
But if you put me into Jannah, or heaven,
yes,
your Nabi, your Prophet
your
will be happy.
Your companion would be happy.
Yeah,
with
your
that.
Prophet will be happy. Lord, I know that the happiness of your Prophet is dearer to you
mm-hmm.
than the happiness of your enemy.
It's so much beautiful,
like,
you know? Plenty much of beautiful concepts in that dua. Every time I have a problem, every time
like
I feel
these words are so meaningful. Like,
yes,
you know, if you
so
sit
meaningful.
And reflect on these
and
words.
And giving you so much of hope.
Yeah.
Still, you think life is not over. You can do a lot of things. Still, you have chances to change. And God would be always protecting you, supporting you.
Yeah, there's a whole idea about duas. These are basically from Imam alayhi salam. So, in these duas, sometimes we see that, you know, Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam, they're mm-hmm. seeking for forgiveness.
Yes.
Whereas they're ma'soom, they're infallibles, they don't commit any sins. What are they seeking forgiveness for? So, you know, this is the whole thing, the whole idea about this dua is to teach us how to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by seeking forgiveness,
yes.
they're teaching the believers,
mm-hmm.
you know, how you can put your request, like, what are
yes.
your needs
mm-hmm.
in words? And
your wishes.
Yeah, your wishes, like how you ask your Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I've heard this from Imam, if I'm not mistaken, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, that, oh Allah, because you have asked me to make dua or to supplicate, I supplicate. Just because you have asked me to.
Mm-hmm.
Or else, I don't have the capability to tell you what is good for me.
Yes, that's very beautiful.
Like Allah is the best knower, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything. So I cannot tell you what is good for me. You know everything.
Yes.
Just because you have asked me to pray, mm-hmm. I pray and I ask dua.
You know what? I think all these applications, they do not have any specific age. Everyone can read them and enjoy them. And everyone
can get
whatever they want from those duas. Because they are very, as I said, just close to heart. You feel like you are speaking.
Yeah.
But if you have devoted so much of time and energy, you could have never put them in that beautiful way.
Right.
So they are ready for you to enjoy.
Yeah, that's what we all pray, that may Allah give us a tawfiq so that we can look into different du'as and,
exactly.
You know, we learn how to make du'as.
Mm-hmm, yes. That's also a thing we should consider, that.
Yeah.
Allah should give us the blessing of going through those du'as and reciting.
Sister Asma, as you mentioned that, you know, these du'as are not for some specific age group of people.
Yes, yes.
So for that, I wanted to mention that, you know, as we started a topic with du'a for youth.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you know about youth, like, who are the youth?
Mm-hmm.
Youth, as we all know, that youth are referred to as the young people of the society.
Yes, the young people.
But there's a hadith from narrative from Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, that in that narrative, Imam is saying to Sulaiman, his one of his companions, he's saying that, you know, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ashabul Kahf
mm-hmm.
as young people, whereas they all were old.
Uh-huh.
But why is he mentioning them to as young people? Why is he mentioning them to as youth, Ashabul Kahf?
Because he wants to drag the attention towards the youth.
No, but why is the need? He's mentioning these old people. Why is Allah mentioning Ashabul Kahf?
Yes.
As youth. And the reason is,
uh-huh.
he's mentioning them as youth
mm-hmm.
because they believed in Allah. The iman was strong.
Uh-huh.
Like anyone
yes.
having iman and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, yes, yes.
His heart
right
needs
now
to be
I
young,
get
right?
your meaning. Yes. Like, so there's no age.
That's the main factor, yeah.
Youth is in your heart.
Yeah.
It must be in your heart.
Yeah.
And age does not really matter that much.
This is IRIB English Radio. You are listening to Youth Station.
Since we're talking to the audience who are considered to be the youngsters, the youth, well, it's very good for them mm-hmm. if they have never devoted a specific time for that. It's very good to go through these Islamic heritage because they have plenty of notions to convey to you, plenty
exactly.
of things and ideas to give you. Then maybe you would change your point of view or maybe the way you look at everything.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Every time I go through them, it's like I'm reading it for the first time.
Right, exactly. You know,
every time it gives
you
a new idea, yes, a new meaning out of it.
Yeah, you get a new understanding out of it. Like, and one more advice, which I advise to myself mm-hmm. first and then to our dear listeners. You know, people usually, when they're depressed, like when they're going to different phases, they visit psychologists.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, what
they
I advise...
They pay so much for
yeah,
the psychologist.
Yeah, they pay so much. What I advise is, you know, just start reading these du'as.
Exactly.
And just spread a mat, just spread a sajada.
Mm-hmm.
And talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's very
just
good.
Tell him
just
all
bear
the problems
your soul
in your
out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just get alone for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Just you and your Lord.
Yes.
Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That would really affect your
and seek, like whatever
psyche,
you want.
Really.
So, like, this is the best thing. You know, one of the scholars, when the, you know, these fidget spinners?
What is it?
Like, fidget spinners are the things that, you know, you spin it.
Uh-huh.
Like, one point of time, like,
yes.
these were really trending, like,
yes,
all over
yes.
the world. Like, these were really trending.
Mm-hmm.
So, one scholar, he didn't know about the spinners, so he asked the young child, like, I mean, he was young in the sense, like, he was in his 20s or 30s. He asked him, like, my son, what's this? He said, these are fidget spinners. So what happens with this? He said that, you know, it relieves your stress and all, your depression. Like, just try and spin tasbih once. Just take tasbih in your hand
mm-hmm.
and just check how much that has an effect on you.
Yes, yes, that's very true. So just to wrap it up and to give you the gist, there are plenty of amazing and awesome and meaningful du'as and supplication out there. Whenever you get into terrible, trust me, this time go by this. So I don't want to call it advice because I'm just as like as you. But it's sometimes good to go for the experienced people and see what they have done in their life. When the experienced people always told me it's good to find refuge in Allah and in du'as. So whenever you talk to God, like in a lonesome situation, you just bare your heart and soul for Him, then you would find it's so effective and it would have such a relieving point and effects on you. Then you would always find refuge in them. So go for them. It would be so amazing. There are plenty of those amazing du'as in Mafatih al-Jinan, so you can find them everywhere.
Yeah, and one more thing before just wrapping up the show, like to just get into this ocean of supplication, like just to start it, like in the beginning, you don't really have to be read a long, lengthy du'as.
Yes, yes.
So just, you know, start just talking to Allah in your own words. Just share your problems with Him. Allah knows everything.
Exactly.
But still, when you talk to Him, you know, there's a hadith from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
It feels like you have a friend when you talk to Him.
Exactly. Nothing is more beloved to Allah than a youth, than a young person.
Yes.
You know, returning to His...
the source of His being.
Exactly. So, thank you so much. That's all the time we had for today. Thank you to your listeners for staying with us. And thank you, Sister Asma.
Yes, thank you.
Inshallah, we'll see you in the next episode. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma anta waliyun ni'mati wal qadiru ala talibati. Ta'lamu hajati fa'as'aluka bihaqq Muhammadin wa alih. Alayhi wa alayhim assalam. لما قضيتها لي والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor
Imamat yek asl zinda ast dar tarikh Islam
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
دسته دوم تکلیف گریز میخواد یه جوری در از تکلیف یه جوری فرار کنه.
Regarding the dutifulness of people towards Allah, there's a group who know what the obligations are, but they escape doing them. They are always looking for a way or a justification to escape doing Allah's orders perfectly. They do not deny the existence of the orders of Allah, however, they do not do their best to fulfill them.
داستانشو براتون بگم. رسول گرامی اسلام دست امیر المومنین رو بالا برد. من کنت مولا.
One of the good examples of escaping the Allah's orders are those who deny the orders of Allah on the event of Qadir Khum. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam on his way back from Mecca in a place called Qadir Khum announced that Imam Ali alayhi salam is his successor and wali. The news reached everywhere of the Islamic land. A person by the name of Nu'man ibn Harith went to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and told him, O Prophet, you ordered us to testify that Allah is one and you are his prophet. You also ordered us to do jihad and hajj and salat and fasting. And now you order us to believe in Ali as our imam. Isn't this your personal decision? This is how Nu'man ibn Harith was looking for a way to escape fulfilling the order of Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلْنَا مَعَهُ أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ وَزِيرًا
And we had certainly given Moses the scripture and appointed with him his brother Aaron as an assistant.
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were discussing the situation of disbelievers in hereafter, and we reached the 35th verse of chapter Furqan. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلْنَا مَعَهُ أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ وَزِيرًا And indeed, we gave Moses the book, and we appointed his brother Aaron with him as his assistant. This seems to be the beginning of new section of this holy chapter, in which the Holy Quran brings different examples of different prophets, and it also talks about what happened to the disbeliever people in the past. The people of these prophets disobeyed their own prophets, and we will see what happened to them based on these verses. This 35th verse sympathizes on one hand with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and with the believers. And on the other hand, this verse is somehow threatening the pretext-seeking polytheists. So this verse starts with the history of one previous nation, the people of Moses. It says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ And indeed, we gave Moses the book, وَجَعَلْنَا مَعَهُ أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ وَزِيرًا And we appointed his brother Aaron with him as his assistant.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
You may ask why the Holy Quran starts this section of this chapter with the story of Moses, his brother Aaron, and their fight with the Pharaohs. It might be due to this reason that these two had a very difficult and important duty on their shoulder, because they had to struggle with Pharaoh people, and they had to do this revolutionary job with the help of each other. So this might be the reason why this story has been mentioned first, prior to the other nations' history and their gloomy destiny, because the Holy Quran in this section will specially put emphasis on six nations: the Pharaohs, the Noah's nation, the people of Ad and Thamud, and the people of the ditch. It concisely expresses lessons from the destiny of these nations. So at the beginning of this verse, it is said, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. And indeed, we gave Moses the book. At first, if you want to be sent on a mission, if you are trying to guide some people, you must have a criterion. If you are inviting people to monotheism, if you are inviting people to believe in hereafter, and also the prophethood, you must be inviting them based on a divine book, based on this verse. So at first, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابِ. First we gave him the book, and then we appointed his brother to be his assistant. So if you are not inviting people based on a heavenly book, if you are not inviting people based on a true criterion, you're not allowed to be sent on a mission to invite the people. You will unintentionally or intentionally mislead them, as what happened with the story of Samaria, as you may know. So in this case, Torah was given to Moses, and then his assistant was selected. The point is that his assistant is selected by the Almighty Allah. So it is the Almighty Allah's right to choose the successors and not anyone else's. And more importantly, if you are about to be sent on an important mission, you need to have an assistant. Without the true assistance, without whom you will have no one to rely upon, except, of course, the Almighty Allah, your mission will be impossible to do. Specifically in this case, which you have a lot of misled people to guide. So these are some of the important principles of guiding the people and inviting the people to monotheism and to believe in the existence of hereafter. We will, God willing, talk about the 36th verse, dear listeners, in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us